I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Hey.
Fashion Hags. Happy belated Met Gala.
Yes, it's the day after. The day after the Monday in May.
Yeah.
The first Tuesday in May.
Doesn't have the same sort of swing to it.
No.
Not that nice, you know, cadence, but.
What are you going to do? We're all in fashion hangovers. We all have so many opinions. It's great. We were supposed to have a guest and we had to reschedule. So now we get to talk about the Met Gala a little bit. We can catch up first, maybe.
We can do whatever the
fuck we want.
Yeah, it's
our fucking show. Take a cue from Trixie and Katya. This is our show.
And not yours.
I do what I want.
Well, I mean,
first things first, there was not enough drag queens at the Met Gala.
Yeah,
there was one?
There was
two. Aquaria and Violet Tchotchke.
Oh, yes, of course, in that fucking gown with the glove.
The Moschino glove gown.
Yes.
Yeah, that was.
How could I forget Violet?
RuPaul was there, but not in drag.
Yeah.
Outfit was pretty awesome.
Outfit was.
It took me a minute to figure out what it was on the shoulder, but it was
like
a zebra head.
Yeah, a rainbow zebra.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
I had to look at a few pictures to figure out what that thing was. I saw the hair and I saw the zebra and I couldn't figure out it just looked like a weird blob.
But it was.
And then, of course, it's a zebra head.
It was good.
It was fantastic.
I enjoyed. Do you have a favorite?
They did have a lot of people from Pose, which I liked. There was a few people from Pose, which was great. So not drag queen specific, but not gender binary, or gender, cisgender people, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
What is that called? The palanquin? When Billy Porter came in on?
Yes.
Was being carried by those gold men. Mm-hmm. What is it? I forget what the term is for what that thing is called.
Yes.
I think it's a palanquin.
Where someone, you're carried.
I can see what it is like written, but I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
We know what the outfit's called, darling, but we don't know what the thing you wrote it on is called.
That entrance. Better than Lady Gaga. I'm going to say it. Controversial, but I'm going to say it.
Billy Porter owned that
shit. Lady Gaga,
Yeah.
Lady Gaga's was like,
it was
black and pink. It was fun, but it was like, really? Like, you wore a Kermit the Frog dress how long ago? Like, channel that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
But there's too many people to assist. I was like, I don't know.
Part of me is like, I don't know, some Instagram stories. I'm like, if there aren't four people helping you with your outfit, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Katy Perry?
There was a couple people were like, okay, we talked about this with someone else too today about how I thought, and we talked about this also in our last episode when we were projecting and what people were going to be doing, about how I thought it would be an interesting theme because it's, in theory, easy because it's so broad. And fun because it's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Or it has potential for such weirdness. And then still so many people shit the bed.
Completely. I couldn't believe it. All of the early, I just was sort of taking a look on it on Instagram, just sort of in the background, and all of the early ones were like snooze fest. Friggin' Miley Cyrus too. I was like,
you're the
be
queen
more
of camp. You are so doing? Good. You breathe and live and exude.
Hannah
camp.
Fucking Montana showed up in a fucking, I don't know, Billboard Music Awards dress.
Seriously. And I keep saying this to other people too, because I've had many conversations about this now in the past 24 hours with people. People in these scenarios, these super rich and or famous people, you have 100 nights every year you can wear this shit.
Yeah.
All the time. Take your Saint Laurent cocktail dresses and go fuck yourself.
not even a funny eye, not even a hair piece.
Funky bracelet?
No, nothing.
Chunky
not a
necklace?
Thing.
Like, I mean, Anna wore her chunky necklace and she wore a feathered cape this year.
Ooh, la la.
I think we pretty much nailed that.
Yeah,
it's going to be a heavily embroidered sheath with some sort of nod to the theme.
Was it Prada? It was vaguely Prada.
It was always Chanel Couture, darling.
Oh, of course.
Always Chanel Couture.
Oh, Prada's for day wear.
Yeah.
Chanel's for evening wear. No mistake. And then her daughter with like that fucking rose thing.
The McQueen. rose.
It was like
a black tuxedo jacket
smoking,
with a rose.
With like a giant rose on it and a big trail.
Yeah.
I think also.
At least she tried.
Yeah.
I'll give her.
It's more surrealist.
I'll give her 20% credit. Yeah.
We do owe an apology to Harry Styles.
I don't.
We were emailed. I don't know if you saw the email, but we were emailed
about
by,
he's got street cred.
He's got some real cred and is doing some real work.
Real cool stuff. That's good.
I did not know that. So
yeah, he was flying under my radar.
I'm not going to say that he nailed it at the gala last night because he didn't.
He had that one earring though. Pretty cool guy with the one earring.
Revolutionary.
Groundbreaking.
But we do owe him a reverse apology from our last week show where we blew him up.
He gets completely. A high five. He gets a high five. Maybe not a hug.
Yeah. We'll give you let's say 66% you get on that one. But
yeah, you're passing.
Thank you to, I forget your name. I want to say Emma or Emily. Could be wrong completely for alerting
schooling
us. And sending us the link to the hair
style
fashion.
Nerve.
Yeah.
It do take nerve
yeah.
to send us an email and say, pardon me.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
But we call people on their shit all the time.
We are very open to it. And please illuminate.
Yeah.
Please.
Elucidate.
Yeah.
All I'm saying
is. You look good.
That motherfucker has worn far more campier shit
100%.
To a lot less prolific
shit.
Events.
Yeah, 100%.
And if that bitch thought that she could get away with walking up in there with a fucking lace, a sheer lace blouse, a little poet sleeve, and a high-waisted trouser, she had another thing fucking coming. Because there were at least four gays sitting around in any major city wearing that exact same fucking outfit.
Just eating chips.
Eating chips. Going to get a cocktail. Running for the subway.
It's laundry day, and that's all they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one out of the four works for Nordstrom. That's all I'm saying. I know those girls. You know, like I go out to the club every other weekend and some homo's running in there with that fucking outfit and looking twice as campy as fucking Harry Styles, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, he was standing next to Gucci Man, who was OTT.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Mm-hmm. Dude was awesome.
Current reigning king of
camp. What's
his
name? Michael, Michelle, I forget his last name, something with an A, Alessandro.
Alessandro.
He looked great.
Yeah.
He looked fucking weird as shit, and he looked amazing, and he was so shiny and poop and pink. And roughly, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, called the carrying the own head.
I called that shit.
I had so many people ask me, be like, what is the deal with that? I'm like, ugh, it's a thing they already did like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
and it's not even like a super recent thing. It's from like 4 shows ago.
Yeah.
So whatever. But Jared Little loves his Gucci's and Gucci loves Jared. So we're going to let them snuggle.
He's so weird, right?
He can send me the wig off of that head, though.
Yeah, you can make that. You can make that. Bye, wig.
Bye, wig.
You can make that look good. Who else?
There was a severe lacking in wigotry last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lizzo did some wigotry. Who did that white wig? What's her name from The Office? From Mindy Kaling.
Oh, mm-hmm. She had that long
She had a white wig. Loved the white wig on her.
And
the gown was snooze.
But it was the same. It was the same cut and color of the gown she wore when she robbed the Met Gala in Ocean's 8.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It was a long sequin gold dress that she wore in Ocean's 8 when she robbed the Met. So
good for her.
So there's that. Emma's the most exciting dress. She looked great. It's the worst when like you're not even trying and then you still look bad. Like there's a lot of people who were in beautiful dresses, absolutely looked amazing, but no.
We're like, next.
I'm like, you showed up, you didn't try, and you look bad.
Yeah, you could be going to the Oscars in this. And the Oscars is known to be the most play it safe kind of public 100%. Red carpet
Most
event.
Conservative, absolutely. Yeah.
J-Lo had that sequin wig that was kind of fun.
It was like Bob Mackie-ish, right?
A nod to Cher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. There were several nods to Cher.
There was quite a few. Sierra had her, like, green one with the big wig was kind of a Cher, Bob Mackie looking deal. Yeah. Who was that? Peter Dundas, maybe?
Peter Dundas for Cavalli.
Makes sense.
One of the Kardashian or the Jenners. I don't know who's Kendall and who's Kylie. Like
orange and purple.
Yeah. Orange and purple.
Yeah.
All the ugly stepsisters memes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There's some good ones.
I was also very vindicated when Diet Prada did a little Kim Kylie side by side as well with the purple, the boob outfit. I was like,
The right shade, the same scallop, the same
sequins. Yeah. And then a friend of mine was like, Diana Ross is in there to ruffle her boob. And I'm like, no, but Tracee Ellis Ross is there. Yeah. She could have done it. She could have done it. She looked great with the frame.
Oh, God, yeah.
She was having fun.
Yeah. She always has fun.
We were wondering if it was removable. Like, how do you go to the bathroom? I guess you just don't go to the bathroom. These nights, you just don't go to the bathroom for 5 hours.
Yeah. How do you fit in the stall with a huge ass frame sticking out of
Well, I was looking at pictures, too. And I'm like, all these people are getting out of, like, buses.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, because their outfits don't fit in cars.
Mm-hmm. Cardi B?
No, not going to happen. You're getting the flatbed. Semi-trailer out of that fucker.
What do we think about Kim Kardashian?
I thought it was very awesome. I thought mm-hmm. it was very cool.
I think people would be less upset about it if it was floor length.
It was not right for the night. And also, I'm sick of her looking wet. Like, what, the last aesthetic
I thought it was
had,
a nod to her Vogue cover.
She's so shiny, and her hair just looks wet and greasy. And then the dress itself, which was, like, latex and stuff. It was a Mugler dress. It was beautiful with a little crystal, so it looked like it was wet. Very intriguing. Terrible color. I'm just against flesh-colored things in general. It looked amazing on her.
But wasn't it supposed to look like she's not wearing... Like, it's supposed to be sheer and, like...
Then it should have been sheer.
I don't know. I liked it. I agree with you on all your points. But yeah.
It also reminded me of
the
maybe,
color didn't bother me.
Maybe again, because it was the flesh toned thing. It reminded me, and the texture of it too, reminded me of H.R. Giger stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, if you're not familiar with H.R. Giger, Google it. But he designed all the aliens from Alien and a bunch of other mocked up stuff. He passed away. He's no longer with us. He's been an obsession of mine for many, many, many years. But he always does these weird, like, human machine hybrids and alterations to the human form and, like, the experiments. And they're in, like, fucked up stuff. Not in, like, oh, what'll this look like? Like, no. This is, like, demon from hell created this. Mm-hmm. You have a direct channel to Satan and you're just making it happen in front of you with your spray paints or whatever. So it reminded me a little bit of that, which I'm very into. But also... grossed out by at the same time.
Yeah.
It's a very like attraction repulsion situation.
I kind of liked it.
Kanye can fuck off.
Yeah, he literally
did not
like
looks like a janitor.
Yeah. He did.
I don't know.
What about Ezra Miller and the eyes?
Orgy.
Oh,
man.
Top toot.
Yeah. Probably.
I don't know what pronouns they use, but they can get it.
Mm-hmm. So good.
They can get it. I don't care what.
I've heard several reports that Ezra Miller doesn't shower and is very smelly.
Ooh, no thanks.
I would believe that.
I read about a Brad Pitt 25 years ago. Haven't been able to shake it.
No.
When he was doing Legends of the Fall, I heard in that era of Brad Pitt, I heard he had bad BO and I can't
Is
not.
He method?
Maybe.
Yeah. Legends of the Fall, isn't he on a ship for like 2 years and...
Yeah, or he's in like Montana and a ranch, falling in love with some native woman.
What is currently known as Montana.
Yes, there was something else back then. But anyway, so that rumor can be hard to shake, as well as the stench of body odor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who else? Good. That dude from, all the American Horror Story people.
Nailed it.
And the Pose people.
Yeah.
Ryan Murphy is a genius.
Well, Ryan Murphy in general is kind of camp.
100%.
His oeuvre is camp.
And I saw him in the... in the 100-pound Liberace-inspired outfit. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Leslie Grossman, who had the big pink Marabou outfit with the little diamond choker. And she was doing Zsa Zsa Gabor, who had worn a very similar outfit with the same necklace. And Ryan Murphy had approached her and said, I'll go as Liberace if you'll be my Zsa Zsa.
Cute.
And she looked so good. Sarah Paulson?
I was just as a bow tie.
I was like, what is your deal? Okay, I guess the oversizedness of the bow is the deal. But then there's a little thing that hangs down the front with the little clasp from a bow tie. I was like, okay, no, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's clever. It's not just a dress with a bow. Like Carrie Mulligan.
Barf.
What the fuck was that? Was that Prada? That was some nonsense.
No, it was Vuitton.
Vuitton.
Anyone?
All the Vuitton was terrible.
Gauche.
Blech.
No. No time.
No, thank you.
Janelle Monáe.
The eye winked. Did you see it move?
Yeah.
I didn't find that until today. Fuck. So Christian Siriano fucking killed.
Oh, yeah. Nailed that shit to the wall.
All of his looks. He's really good on Project Runway, too.
Yeah.
I'm liking him. There's one week where he's just like, are you sure you should be eating right now? Like, you should be sewing right now. like, this is what you've done. And then he went to talk shit about the person with the person next to his table. Like, this guy should be back here working. And the other lady's like, yeah, I know, I'm working. Anyway, he's great. He's doing great. He's doing great work all around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited. Did he do the Laverne Cox one too?
Yep.
And then what's her name from Pose with the black and the white? The like lead house mother? Cynthia something? Fuck, I forget her name.
I can't remember her name.
I don't know any of the names.
That's fine.
We were talking upstairs about Jordan Roth, whose name I did not know, but he basically runs Broadway. And the Irish Man Open dress cape, I guess, that he wore was just unbelievable. Just like unfolded like butterfly wings.
He was into it.
Oh, like, yeah.
He fucking.
Mm-hmm.
The only person more into his cape, Hamish Bowles.
Yep.
Holy shit, that guy. He was
Hamish
very
horked that runway.
Into it.
Yeah.
The shoes were a disaster, but that's just me. IMO. My opinion. There was like the weird, like round toed, like flu vlog looking shoes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I never have time choice. For a weird flu vlog.
I never have time for a round toe. Mm. TBH.
An almond toe only?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a bit bulbous. But anyway,
yeah.
Fuck, I want a closer look at that cape. Like, is it embroidered? Is it painted? Is it both?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to know what it was.
It was so light.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he was really swirling it around. He was doing fair.
Probably
nice,
printed
like,
silk or something.
With like maybe some embroidery or little sequins spangle on top of it or something. Because it looked so cool. It was like graffiti and stuff within like the purple. I enjoyed like the masculinity of the graffiti, but then like pink feathers or purple feathers all over it, which I thought was very cool.
Your girl Celine Dion did not disappoint.
Did not.
She won. She won everything. She wins everything forever.
She was the chandelier that we needed, and
Katy Perry was
like the bargain
the
basement
joke.
Chandelier. She, Katy Perry was the Bed Bath and Beyond chandelier, and Celine was
like Tiffany or something.
The Tiffany, yeah. She just all leg, so beautiful,
huge smile.
She's not wrong. Just love her. Well and done. On behalf of all of Canada, well done.
Yes, Celine. We're proud of you. Keep
Salut.
It up. Keep it up. I didn't love Zendaya's outfit, but I did love her whole deal.
Why was it black underneath is my only question.
And I loved that La Roche was the fairy godmother with the wand, and then the gown changed color as the lights lit up in the gown. We'll link to things like this.
And the skirt got bigger.
Yes, it grew and lit up, and he's got a little smoke coming out of his wand. And I'm like, so I looked at him, and I'm like, are you like Prince Charming or something? And then I saw the blue and then the wand. I'm like, no, and you're the fairy godmother, of course. So great. He was having a good time too. That was exciting. Yeah, there's a lot of. Which is the brunette Hadid? Gigi? Bella?
Bella.
No, Bella. I thought she would be terrible. Shucks, she did all right.
Yeah.
And that jeweled over the top Versace Christian Lacroix circa 1991 outfit.
The cutouts on the sides.
Yeah, and then the big glove with the bracelets like all the way up to her armpits, essentially. I thought that they would have zero sense of humor or self awareness. Was her sister there? The other
Yeah,
there?
She wore silver.
Like, she wore that like headpiece, hooded, silver.
It was like a catsuit with a cape.
Catsuit thing, yeah.
Oh, yes. And she had the feathers.
Yeah.
The feather eyelashes. Mm-hmm. That was cool. That was like Ziegfeld and sci-fi and Bob Mackie, like all at the same time. That was a really cool look.
I don't know who did it.
I don't know.
It was good though.
It was marvelous.
There was quite a few duds at the start. I was really disappointed at the start, but then
I should have
known it would get better.
There's still some duds.
As the more important people arrive.
I maintain my opinion of, why is Sienna Miller there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was on
September
Shuvo cover.
And that's what you're wearing?
I mean,
double go fuck yourself.
The September issue documentary.
Mm. Her and Carey Mulligan aren't working and just getting invited to parties.
Sounds like a dream.
Sounds like they're getting a good end of this deal.
Maybe they're up to shit we don't know.
Maybe. And then Kate Moss had a beautiful dress on with like a cape.
Maybe because
cape
Sienna
too.
Miller keeps buying a ticket.
Maybe.
Maybe she pays for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of pocket.
My phone buzzed. I'm so sorry.
Catherine.
1,000 apologies.
Let me just see. Who else was there? Oh, the Australian dude from American Horror Story. He had some weird fucking thing with the blue turtleneck thing coming over his face. That was weird. I'm usually on board with what he has.
The Hags, no, I'm not a fan of him.
His outfits are usually interesting. He's trying to do something different. At least he did something.
Should have worn that wig from American Horror.
Bye, wig!
Or a wig. Kenan Lonsdale was so gorgy. Kenan Lonsdale was in that movie Love, Simon, and was also a judge on Drag Race this season.
Interesting.
That's how I know them. Wore this gorgeous, like, butterfly embroidered gown with a pink wig and a little, like, a yellow turtleneck underneath the gown. It was a moment.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah.
There's a lot I missed. I was trying to keep up. There's too many. And I don't know which, like, which, where did you guys look at it, everything? Did you look?
I just had the live stream on and, like, kept looking over.
Yeah. I had Vogue and kept refreshing.
Yeah.
And then flipping around, you know, that was, like, right at 3 p.m. our time when they were, like, walking the carpet as it was leading. And then, you know, that evening.
Mm-hmm.
But Instagram was up and people were posting on Instagram by then.
Yeah, that's
CNN
mostly.
Had it. Vogue had it.
That's where I was getting it.
Nice. So there was a lot of good looks. It was better than a lot of other nights where people just don't even fucking try. Just
completely missed the point.
Just give up.
There was definitely people who missed it and gave up for sure.
Oh, for sure. There's always going to be at least 30% people doing that.
Yeah. But all in all, pretty fun runway.
I was into it.
Yeah.
I was very into it.
What else is going on? Or should we jump in?
I think we should just jump in.
Sure, let's do it.
I don't
have much to report.
No.
Just in general. So there's that.
I got the first sunburn of the season.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
In the afternoon at a hotel pool that I had no business being at. It was fantastic.
Oh, fine. You didn't kick out. You're
hours
good.
And hours there. Long enough to order pizza.
Fantastic.
It was awesome. My sister's in town.
Nice.
Hi, Shell. She's listening. Shell moved to Vancouver. That was the whole point.
There you go.
Show her the best Vancouver has to offer. Then get out here.
Yeah, I didn't make it to your house on Friday night because Dave actually decided to go out. Ooh. My introverted husband. He's like, can I go out on Friday night? I know you talked about it. I'm like, no, you go. You do it. You go. Oh my God, I actually heard somebody say, YGG. It was a tennis instructor to a 40-year-old woman. You go, girl. YGG.
What?
I was like, no. Except I wasn't involved, and both of them thought it was super cool. So I was like, okay.
Isn't it funny how some of those dumb acronyms actually catch on and make sense, but some of them, like that one,
and
sounds
so ridiculous.
And
the instructor's like a 55-year-old white dude. And the lady was like,
I thought he was saying the acronym for the Calgary airport.
That's YYC.
Yeah. YYC. Anyway, so that's on a side. But that caught me off guard. You go, girl. But so Dave went out and I was like, you good, you go for it. Do it.
Yeah, you didn't miss that much. Everybody was either out of town or sick, so it was only, we just had tacos. It was not a
big hey, man, that's all right.
Bunch of party. It was
Vancouver
fun.
Vancouver got good tacos.
Yeah. We made the tacos.
Even better.
With my obsession last week.
Oh, your pickle, my whatever.
Cabbage. Yes. It's a raging success.
Oh, of course it was.
You nailed it.
Oh, fantastic. And congratulations to you and your sunburn.
Oh, thanks so much. I would like to accept this award on behalf of Sunscreen Everywhere.
On behalf of Banana Boat.
Yes.
And Aloe After Skincare.
Turns out you can get a sunburn in May. Believe it or not.
Oh, blah. Oh, well.
Anyway, we are talking about today, a line review and what that means. We sort of hinted at it a couple of episodes ago. Forget when.
I'm sure we've talked about it before, too.
I'm sure we've talked about it. But a line review is basically the process in the design process, where your designs are done and
you've made them, you've chosen the fabrics, the samples have been created,
the trims are there, hopefully.
And now you can review.
And now you show it to people. By people,
usually internal.
It's an internal thing. It's
for your peers of the different departments, or you know,
if you're in
people
a big
not on
company,
the design team, or
yeah, if it's a big enough company, it'll be the buyers who will then show it, or who will look at it and decide what pieces are going to which stores, or if this...
There's so many things to consider.
There's a million things to consider. I just sat in on one, on a couple, actually, a couple of weeks ago, which made me think, oh, we should actually talk about this, because it's kind of a thing that you, unless you're internal, you don't see or hear about or really know about that process, but it is very, very cool.
And we did it. And crucial.
Yes.
You need extra eyes.
Yep.
And other opinions.
Yeah.
And garments. You need to see them on a person.
That's like...
is another thing.
The biggest thing.
Because you look at them on a computer screen, or you look at them in a sketch, or whatever, or you just hang on the hanger. And that doesn't always work.
It's the...
In fact, it seldom works.
It's almost never works. And it's weird. When I was sitting in this... Excuse me. When I was sitting in this review last week, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, I was thinking, oh, there is no standard, and there never will be a standard for the right armhole, the right sleeve, the right cuff.
Waistband.
The right... There is no...
You can't. It's impossible.
It's impossible. And it's also one of the things that I like the most about fashion and about clothes is that even between samples, you could change the size of a pleat and like it more, or have it do the, you know, fill the intent of your design better than a pleat that was slightly different, or the length of the sleeve, or the width of a sleeve, or the how high the pant is.
Yeah, the type of collar. Is it a standing collar? Is it a fold-over collar? Is it a one-piece collar? Is it a two-piece collar? Is it pointy? Is it round?
There's no right. There's never right or wrong answer.
There's wrong answer sometimes.
There is.
Once you see it on a person, you're like, oh, no.
But there's no... I should say there's no necessarily right solution.
Yes. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. There's definitely a wrong way to do it, but then fixing it is like, for example, we were sitting in this one, and I am lucky enough to be able to participate in this in the company that I work for. It's not for me, but I get to be there as a representative of my team for writing and
your
stuff.
Your cog in the wheel.
Exactly.
Whatever, in the machine.
So there was a blouse that came out, and it has this nice big pleat in the back, and it's trying to be like the point of it, the like slot that it was, you know, was supposed to fulfill is a shirt that you can wear, you know, to work. It's a commute style shirt that you can wear on your bike if you need to, but you can also wear it at the office, or maybe you just wear it at the office. And as like the conversation is going on, the design and the buying teams, who are very separate, but work very closely together. They have very, very different jobs, but they work.
They have to
together. Yeah. What they needed sort of changed. And so the solution by the end of it all was like, well, this is the wrong, it's just wrong.
This is the wrong slot for it.
It's the wrong slot for it. So let's hold it, and we'll push it to a new season, and we'll just sort of work with what we have
for a bit.
Yeah. So it just really reminded me that like there's no standard. There's never the right thing.
It's so subjective.
And especially because everything is so...
So many variables.
So many variables, but also everything is on such a tight timeline. It's like if you don't get it right by that time, you probably don't have time...
To go back.
To fix it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it just pumped me up to like, oh yeah, everybody makes mistakes all the time and there is no right answer.
And you just forge ahead.
And you just have to keep going.
Figure it out. Yeah.
So I suppose we should sort of talk about like what...
We have an interesting perspective here, because you work for a bigger company. I work for a smaller company.
Evan and I work by an myself.
Even smaller company. But there's still this process fitted in somewhere.
Yeah.
This is something that needs to happen. You need to be able to sit and look and think and improve or ditch.
Yeah.
whatever this is. But it's such a crucial, and it's like you said, there's something that people, you know, you make the clothes and you sell them.
Mm-hmm.
You think up the clothes, you make a sample, and then you sell it.
Mm-hmm.
You're good. No, this is a very important little step in between, where you literally take a moment and just look at it and think about it and ask someone else what they think about it.
And ask the people. That's the biggest thing, I think, too, is for a company that is the size of a company that I work for now, I didn't really see how important the buyer's job is, but the buyers basically tell the designers what they need in the marketplace. So the designers have, you know, a certain level of freedom to do what they want, depending on the company.
Come up obviously. With a collection plan, whatever they think they want to do this year, and the fabrics available, and the inspiration, yada, yada, yada.
So the depending on the size of the company, you can have a lot of freedom, or you can have very little freedom, or whatever. The size of the company, and the nature of the company, and the how much money there is, and blah, blah, blah. But basically, the merchant, or not the merchants, the buyers will say, okay, there's a big trend of crops this year. There's a big thing of off the shoulder coming up. This is a big thing that other companies are doing.
Pleated skirts everywhere. We're making pleated skirts.
We're making pleated skirts. What are we going to do? What's our version of the pleated skirt?
Yeah.
We need that,
what works
we need
for
that
our brand.
Slotted in here somewhere. We've got a few classics that we always roll out that are always going to do well, but we need some newness. So,
and these can
be
designed to
newness.
Yes, and they can be trend based, or they can be utilitarian based, or they can be color
function based.
They can be function based. Yeah, there isn't necessarily just like, oh, everyone's wearing wide leg crop pants now.
Yeah.
We need to make a wide leg crop pant.
Sometimes
that's part of it.
Sometimes it is, depending on the size of your company. If you're a smaller
and
company.
How interested your company is in that sort of thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or sometimes you only do wide leg crop pants because that's just what the customer buys looking at Okunfor. Looking at you know, I walked into Okunfor the other day and I was like, there is not one tailored trouser in this whole store.
Remember all the pleated ones women's. Came out all those years ago too, not even that long ago. They were all tapered and pleated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a bunch of those. Ritzy was all over those.
Mm-hmm.
Okunfor was all over those.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a wide leg crop.
There's a great trouser that I got from Okunfor. It was like a flannel trouser, and I wanted to go there and get it in a different fabric, and they didn't bring it back. It's a great trouser. It was missing belt loops, but it was a women's trouser. Even a women's trouser should have belt loops. Women wear belts.
I agree.
Agreed.
Fucking bullshit.
And think about where you're putting these. I had a pair of pants too, and I'm like, there needs to be two more belt loops on these, or these ones seem to be moved.
Yeah.
Like, how am I having 8 inches with no belt loops?
Yeah.
Well, they did not go through their line review very well then.
There should be a minimum of 7 belt loops on a pair of pants.
People say 5, but I think 7.
I think 7.
I think 7.
1, 2, 3, 4. 3 in the back, 6. 1 on the side seams, and 2 in the front.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I agree.
This has been belt loop talk.
Yeah. But this is the things that you talk about in the lineup.
Absolutely.
You know? And they will be times where you just sit quietly in a room of 30 people and no one says a word, just thinking about what is the right number of belt loops.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? What will look good, and how thick do they have to be? Are they sewn into the seam? Are they sewed down flat? Are they just loops?
Do we have a belt that we can sell with this pant?
Yeah. What, do we need to make a belt now?
Do we need to scratch the belt loops altogether? Do we need to put a different waistband
on it? Yeah.
So, it's a thing that, no matter of the size of it, like we did them in fashion school and they were the best. They were so stressful.
It was so stressful, but so fun.
Prepping for them was so stressful, but doing them was so fun.
And sitting in on
and
them
exciting.
Was so fun.
With all these ideas and this energy, you can just feel it in the room.
Because when you put a collection together, it doesn't happen in a silo. It's not like, oh, I like skirts, so I'm going to make skirt. Or I like t-shirts, so I'm going to make t-shirt, but I'm going to make it weird or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you need to have there's a reason called a collection.
Yeah.
It's not just
a bunch of clothes.
It's a bunch of things that exist on their own. Everything needs to work together in harmony. And like you need, if you're going to have that skirt, you need to have the top that match with it. And then what kind of jacket would you wear with that outfit? Or what kind of coat? Or like, if you're going to do a trouser, like, does that top match with that trouser? Is it the same vibe? You know, like, it transcends that whole, you can sit there and sketch skirts all day, but then you'd bring them up to an instructor in design school and they'd be like, what are you going to wear with this skirt?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. Like, you can think of it internally inside the collection as, okay, I need to make a look with this. I have a skirt. I can't put a skirt in a runway or in a, editorial or something. I need to figure out what else to wear with it. And granted, your first step is usually what can I make to include and sell to you?
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to think bigger picture than that. Who is my customer? What are they doing in these clothes? What do they already have in their closet?
Mm-hmm.
If my girl buys this, she would probably also buy this and they could work together. So it can be a bigger picture thing too, where it's like, I know my girl, likes these other brands. Because that's her aesthetic. And then you can try to figure out how you fit in there as well. Because it's selling your own. At the end of the day, you just got to sell your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can have other shit to sell with it, great.
That's why the buyers are such a key part of that process.
Because they know.
That I forgot.
That's the stuff they track.
Yeah. And the other thing that was in, that was really interesting is, in addition to the buyers in this meeting that I was in on, there was also a representative from sourcing. So they say, okay, this is the fabric you're using and this is the detail that you're putting on here. This shirt, if you want to sell it for $68, your margin is only going to be 58 or whatever it is, 58%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and it's the buyers all, do not want to hear that.
Yeah. No, buyers do not want to hear that. You want to hear at least 200. 65.
Yeah.
But it was like,
we're not making bridal here.
Yes, yeah. So then you have a conversation with the designers and the buyers and the sourcing team, or whatever the sourcing team is called in whatever company you work for.
The people basically, who get the shit made.
The people who make the shit.
Yeah.
The people who are representatives of the manufacturers who actually do it.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, well, if we take out two of those belt loops and we make it a 5-belt loop pattern instead of a 7, then we're going to shave off. We can knock off a couple of bucks and it'll the
margins
will go up a little bit. Or if we take off this detail on the sleeve, then that will change the margin if we charge it.
Or instead of this kind of pocket, we do this kind of pocket.
Yeah. Or like, we really love this fabric, but at this length of pant or this length of skirt, we can't get a good margin because we're just using way too much fabric. So if we lengthen, or if we narrow the width of the skirt, or if we crop the length of the skirt, then we can bring our margins in a little bit. And then there's a negotiation of, well, does that now fit the need that we've determined for this garment or for filling this hole on the shelf at the store? Or is that a different thing now? So it's such a like fluid.
It's a real juggling act.
It's a real like, it's the real like nuts and bolts of the business.
Yeah.
I'm even excited just talking about
seriously,
it.
Totally. Where I work, it's part of the like we have fittings with our pattern drafter. We have a contractor who does all our pattern drafting and stuff. And we think of the ideas. This is the kind of thing we're looking at. We have some inspiration images of we like the ruffle on this, but we change that and yada yada yada. We give it to this wonderful woman who is essentially a fucking wizard.
She really is.
She's amazing.
Pattern cutters?
Yes. Amazing. Yeah. And our pattern drafter, and she sews our samples too, that she makes just out of like whatever bullshit fabric, just so we can get the idea. And we have another lady who makes the samples, or the factory makes the samples and the actual finished fabrics later on. But, you know, we're looking at this one little nightie we were making, and the front had a flounce ruffle. A flounce is cut in a circle. And then just a ruffle, which is just a rectangle that's been gathered. And the effects are very different.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going back and forth between, do we like the flounce or do we like the ruffle? Do we like it a folded ruffle that's one piece folded in half, or do you just want a single? And depends on the fabric and yada, yada, yada. And then we are a small enough company that we get her to make it and then we change it. We say, drop the waistline 3/8 of an inch or, you know, the pockets should be on the bias or they should be straight or whatever. And then we don't necessarily get a second sample.
But you know what? Yeah. Neither do the bigger companies.
Right.
Either.
Because the timelines are so, and the budget is so slim sometimes that you just can't afford to make a second sample, mostly time-wise.
And often the samples are made overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we're lucky that our samples are made here. So there's a pretty quick turnaround between when they're made and then they're literally in our hands. We don't have to ship them from halfway across the planet.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, lots of big companies, they're made at their factories that are not made in-house. Most design houses for most
so that lead companies
don't have them.
That lead time, you have to factor it in and it can be 2 months, right? And you got to fit that into the rest of your schedule. So you better think hard when those fittings and these lineups, these line reviews that you're going to, you know, make sure that you're making a decision that you can live with and sell.
And sell. That's the biggest one.
And there's so many things that you're just like, sometimes they're just arbitrary. It's like, okay, I guess we'll just do that one because it doesn't, you know, they're fine. You choose the cheapest one usually. Or sometimes you're like, you know what? This more expensive sleeve treatment is worth because the other one just really doesn't work. It's cheaper and it's simpler. But looking at this and looking what the price point could be.
The perceived value.
The price point and the perceived value, which are two different things. The more expensive sleeve with the bias binding and the fanciness is worth it to us. And then there's sometimes you're just like, let's just give him the cheap one. Just serge it closed. Just sew it closed. Like, just make it one piece, sew it up. It's fine. It's tidy. As long as it's sewn, it's cut nicely and sewn nicely, it will be fine and it will look nice.
There's also times where you'll do a proto instead of saying sample, like the one that the pattern maker makes, that would be like the proto.
Yeah. It's a real for rough the sample first idea. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Is a more formalized version. But in the sometimes going between the initial proto and proto is short for prototype.
Yes.
If you're not. If you want me to talk down to you a little bit, because we are in fashion. So between the prototype and the sample, the factory might be like, why would you do it like this? We can do it this other way and it'll be way cheaper.
Yeah.
If you're okay. And they're like, oh, usually it's like, oh yeah, ask the guys who know what they know how to actually.
Yeah, at work we say all the time, well, let's ask the factory. We will say, this is the finished product we would like it to look like. What do you recommend we do? Is it worth the seaming and the whatever and the whatever? Or can we just literally just serge it closed?
Or is this, is this treatment, is it going to cost us
an arm and
$3 a garment to do? Or is it going to cost us 35 cents a garment to do? What are we going to, which one can we actually do?
Yeah, there was one part we were just recently, we were going back and forth on pockets and this kind of, but you want a patch pocket, which is just sewn like a rectangle, just sewn on the outside.
The cheapest pocket.
The cheapest pocket, just a rectangle slapped on it. Doesn't even need to be fused, depending on the fabric. You just slap it on there. Or an inseam pocket. And we kept going back and forth. And then we're just like, you know what? Let's just ask the factory how much it would be. And it's like 50 cents. And we're like, we're doing the pockets. We're doing the nicer pockets because they're 50 cents. So we'll figure that. Well, that's fine.
That's an
acceptable.
Yeah.
That's an acceptable risk. But we're sitting there. It's me, the designer, the marketing girl, production coordinator, the pattern drafter, and we're humming and hawing and going back and forth. And then like, we've got our answer in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, the factory's like, 50 cents. I'm like, and done.
Great. That's what we're doing. Yeah. Moving on. Next.
But you need to ask all these people, how do you do it when it's the royal we in the Evan Ducharme studio? Do you just think on it? You sleep on it?
I think now, back in the day, it was like my decisions were so much more based on, oh, that'll be cute, I'll just do that, because obviously when I first started my brand, I wasn't doing it to make money. I was just doing it for the fuck of it, I was still working full time. This wasn't like my livelihood at all. And I wasn't expecting to make money off of what I was doing. It was nice when I got orders every now and then. But now that it's like, okay, we have sales figures. We have styles that are not selling. We have styles that are selling a lot. And then we have fabrics that are selling a lot. But people like that style, but they don't like that fabric. They like that fabric, but they don't like that style. So now it's just like you have all this information and it's like this knot that you need to untangle and get it all together. So I think now that I have more information on my hands, it's a lot easier to make those decisions. But sometimes it's just like,
sure, it comes with experience.
Take a picture, shoot it off to a friend of mine. Shoot off to my friend Rita. Shout out to Rita, who's like my go-to girl. She used to work in the garment district in New York, and we used to work together at our last job. And we just kind of bonded over the fact that we'd been around the block. I know it's weird because she's like not the same age as me. She's quite a bit older than me, but like, I don't know. We have like, it's weird because I'm this old spirit and she's so young at heart. So we just kind of like,
we meet in the middle.
It's like, we're both like these 30-year-old, like 40, 50-year-old chicks just like running around in fashion, but
making cool shit, bouncing ideas off each other.
But like, it's great because I'll send her a photo and she'll be just like, how long does it take you to do that?
Yeah.
You know, just like getting right down to the fucking point. She's like, okay, when you're under the wire and you have to make like three of those and ship them out in 2 weeks, and
what are you going
to
do?
What's the decision you want? Because I have to think in a different way, because I do my own samples. I do my own production. I do my own buying. I don't have a buyer. Sourcing. I don't have a pattern cutter. I don't have anything like that. So I have to think very differently. And a lot of the times I design the garments to suit my my strengths in sewing. You know, I can't do a fucking well pocket to save my life.
So well, there's no well pockets in your collection.
There's no well pockets in my collection.
But who can do a well pocket? I'm sorry. Wizards.
Machines. In factories, machines do well pockets.
Absolutely.
You know, you stick it in there and then
it's all of a sudden,
5 minutes, it's done.
Give it to a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the only way you can get a pair of pants for $75 with two well pockets on the back is if a machine is making that well pocket. you know.
Yeah, in Bangladesh.
Yeah, not if my gay ass is sitting at a machine
for
an hour to make two well pockets
and fucking it up once and having to cut a whole new back to your pant.
And that's the thing with the well pocket, if you cut,
you gotta cut into your pant.
Which is terrifying if you're using a beautiful wool or you're using like a shifty fabric or something, like a crepe, a wool crepe or something like that, which just you look at it the wrong way and it goes away
slides off the table.
I think too scary. Too scary.
Yeah. So no well pockets. we're really sitting on pockets this episode. But then there's the other side of things where I do evening wear and the markup is insane in evening wear. Rightly so. Mm-hmm. Just because there's so much wastage in your fabric.
Yeah.
There's so much that can go wrong in the production of an evening gown. And then you're working on your skirt and then it gets oil on it from the machine next to it. Or your iron decides to freak out and it burns gigantic hole in your tulle skirt. Mm-hmm. You know? There's so much more of a margin for error in evening wear.
Fabrics are different. The construction's so different. Yeah.
You physically need more space to do it as well.
Yeah.
You need a bigger room.
Yeah. You can't just do it on your floor. You
can't do it on my dining room table.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
But it's interesting that you say that you need, now that you have more information, that's what essentially what a buyer's job is.
Yeah.
They are the keeper of the information. It's a job that translates to money. Yeah.
And your job still being there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's a job that is not really well understood in a lot of ways outside of the industry.
And it's even underappreciated in the industry.
Oh, God, yeah.
100%.
In the industry. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's such a crucial, they are the in-between.
Yeah.
Between the stores who are the customer and the customer who is the customer.
And they have everything at stake.
Yeah, like, it's their decision. Yeah. That's right.
There are some designers who forget that people actually have to wear the clothes that they're designing, and they actually have to fit within a predetermined and a pre-curated, a pre-made idea of what your brand is. So when you, I've done it a million times, come out of left of center, and people are like, "What the fuck is that?" You know?
Yeah, and
so
you had fun doing it, and you're into it. And they do also, with them too, I think, especially if you're selling to a boutique or a department store or something, it has to fit physically and also, metaphorically in the in the store as well. Like, how is it going to fit in whatever they already have bought or whatever the direction they're going in, what other brands they have? Do they have the right hangers to put this weird one-shouldered thing on, even those sorts of things.
So can it be folded?
Yes. Does it have to hang up? Does it have to be folded? Sizing.
Different mannequin. Yeah. Totally.
And that's all information that the buyers have to have.
Yeah, the buyers basically represent the stores and by extension, the customer.
Yeah.
In the whole situation. So it's cool to see that they have a massive voice, because otherwise it would just be willy-nilly. You would just make stuff.
Or an echo chamber where you're just patting each other on the back for a job well done at the end of the day.
Until you put it into store and it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's a neat system to see at play. Like it's cool to see how
it's tangible. It's right there in front of you when the people are there, when their opinions are there.
The models, is this hard to get on and off? Like, can you reach the zipper?
Is the head hole too tiny?
Yeah, stuff like that
How do the sleeves feel?
Digging into your armpits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that zipper feel under your chin? Or whatever.
And every fashion company in the world will have things like that. Those questions will be asked in their line reviews as much as any tiny little company.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're one homo shop or a giant corporation.
Yeah. Same questions.
Same questions and need the same answers. The same kinds of answers.
I love it. It pumped me up.
Yeah. And I'm
very excited.
I'm lucky now because I'm going through my archive and I'll be like, hey, why didn't that work? And then looking at it, and now with all of this knowledge that I have just from more time in the business.
I was like, it's just purely experience, right?
Experience.
It's just time.
Yeah. Just looking at something, that's why no one liked that. That's fucking awful. You know, it's like, or realizing that we can make the same style out of the same pattern. Just need to change like seam allowances or change or add
different new pieces or whatever,
like new sections to a pattern. And then it's like, instead of why do we have this pattern and this pattern for basically the same thing when they can just be the same style? Like it's literally almost the same style.
Or just make that in a different fabric and boom, all of a sudden it's great.
Totally.
But you didn't know that fabric existed 2 years ago.
Exactly.
You didn't have it. You didn't know. You didn't know how great it was.
And then I'm lucky because I'm the designer and I get to be there with the customer, and it's not coming through like a telephone, a gamma telephone.
Sure.
It's coming directly from the customer to me.
Yes.
So I don't need to have all these middlemen who can like try and save my ego and
dilute
the message or whatever. I can apply that right away to the product, which is amazing.
That instant feedback is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like my husband used to do stand up, and the end game was never stand up, but the immediate feedback was very helpful.
Mm.
Is it funny or is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And that information is very useful. So if you can just get it right from the horse's mouth sometimes, and if you're in a position to be to receive it well,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a part of just as a human being, receiving criticism isn't always the funnest. But if you're in a place, and like you said, after all these years of experience, you know mm-hmm. your capabilities, you know your aesthetic, you can take that criticism and filter it through what you can turn it into.
Yeah. Because sometimes the criticism is bullshit.
Oh, for 100%.
And it's just based on their own, like their own style, their own...
Yeah, super subjective.
Weird rules that people have for dressing.
Yeah.
But...
Or weird, like... Hiccups have about their body types or like,
yeah. That's the
I don't like
worst.
It because my arms look fat in it. It's like, ugh.
It's like, you look so fabulous.
It looks amazing.
I wish you knew how fabulous you looked. Yeah.
Quit concentrating on that 1 inch of your body and look at the rest of you, which looks amazing.
Yeah, but like that's another thing that I've
we can do a whole episodes on fittings along.
Yeah,
with
oh
Louise.
God. Telling, like, if someone doesn't feel comfortable in something, my telling them they look great isn't going to do shit.
No, it's not helpful.
No.
It's not helpful to you and it's not helpful to them.
No, because the first thing that someone thinks when someone tells them they look so good when they don't feel good is that
lies.
They're lying.
Yeah.
Especially when you are in a position of benefiting from them
financially.
Buying them.
Yes. Yeah. You. That relationship can be very tenuous, right? Like, are you blowing smoke up my ass?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And telling me this see-through but also rainbow-striped getup and like banana headgear? Looking at you, Cara Delevingne, is a good idea. The fuck was that? Sorry.
I did not mind it. It was Willy Wonka lollipop time.
And this is, I don't know, trying way too hard. And that says something. You're at the Met Gala and the theme is camp and you still come off trying too hard. I'm sorry. Go home.
The outfit she wore to the royal wedding was more camp.
Seriously,
than...
The suit. She looked amazing.
Yeah. Little Oscar Wilde moment. Why didn't no one do an ode to Oscar Wilde?
She did,
Wilde?
No. Danai Gurira did.
Okay.
From Black Panther.
Okay.
She had the black top hat. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, I'm not interested in this. And then I read her thinking Oscar Wilde.
Oh, with
and I'm
the,
like,
with the like the mine hair vest gown.
Yes. Willkommen bienvenue. Mm-hmm.
Work.
Yeah, there was a couple Oscar
I was
Wilde.
Like, I was very underwhelmed by it. But then I heard, and I was like, I heard her spin. Mm. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not into
Love
it. With
that.
The cane and the top hat. And yeah, thank you.
Bye bye, mein Liebe. Farewell, mein Liebe. I love it. I'm watching Fosse Verdon right now. We'll get to it.
I need to
we'll
watch
get
it.
To it. Yeah.
Should we
totally
get to it right
forgot
now?
About it.
Do we have anything else?
We have. Your top five to prepare for a lineup. Just to leave the girls with that.
To prepare for a lineup?
Your samples are pressed, threads are cut, and hanging and ready for your fit model.
And if, number two, if there are any obvious reasons why it's not exactly
working.
Why it should be, you know exactly why.
Options.
Like, for example, the fabric came from the factory cut short, so we had to supplement. Or the... Like you just
it won't
to,
be in this color, but this is the one we had.
This is the one we had, and the color is changing slightly because of X, Y, and Z. Like knowing, just being prepared to.
We need to change
it.
The fusing on the collar.
Yes.
Moving on.
Yes, exactly. We are aware.
Yeah.
Have all of your swatches, have your mood boards,
inspiration images,
have your blurb that you're going to give to the group.
Yes,
your little This is more so what I do now, and also what I did in design school. What we did in design school.
Yes,
I would have a cost.
Yes,
At least a window.
Yes, I was gonna say our options for costs, your
margins, and costs.
You can have more of a window than necessarily a specific number.
Yeah, because your buyers will want to have that in mind. They will want to know what that is, and they'll have an idea of what is too much and what is not.
What is not enough, and how that fits into the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, have someone taking notes.
Yes.
That's not you.
As a designer.
As a designer, you don't want to be sitting there taking notes while trying to have these conversations with people. So have someone else take the notes.
And have someone take notes not on necessarily on the garments. I mean, not only on the garment specifically, but on the meeting in general. On
the conversation. Collection. On minutes. Everything.
Yes.
More
yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Because those are extremely useful.
I still have coffee and water.
Yeah,
have a couple cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say some sort of treat or something.
Keep the model. Keep your fit model hydrated.
Yes, treat your fit model
like a person. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's another one. It's really hard sometimes.
Yeah,
because you just time.
You're so conscious of the. You're just looking at the clothes and you're like, oh yeah, there's actually a human inside of them.
Yeah. If you have a lot to get through, have two fit models.
Yes,
and have one person on display while the other person is
changing or resting or whatever.
I say person on display. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Doing their job as a fit model is what I mean. Just to be clear.
Yeah. I still have my notes that y'all took for me in design school.
Aww.
Yeah. I pulled them out when I was.
Your lineups were always so great.
When I was moving. Yeah. Oh, the first one was not that good.
No, but it was. I mean, as an audience member, it was fun.
Yeah. The first one was my first lineup for the final collection, they fucking hated the whole thing. They hated everything. They hated the color palette. They hated the styles. And I completely scrapped the whole thing.
Well, they also told you they hated it because they knew you could do it.
Yeah. They're like, this is too commercial.
If it sucked and you suck, they'd be like, yeah, okay, great, awesome. Change the sleeve. Just crop the sleeves a bit.
Yeah. I'm really glad.
But they knew. Yeah. They knew you could take it and they knew you could rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. And then you know what, bitch? You did.
I did.
There you go. And everybody knew it.
Becky loved it. And they all ate their hats.
Yeah. And our teacher, who never smiled at anyone's work, smiled at one of my dresses. And I keep that with me in dark moments when I'm fucking everything up.
When you don't get any feedback, you just get, okay, what else do you have?
When the welt pocket fucks up, like, I think she liked that dress.
I can do that again.
That was a knit dress that took me 45 minutes to sew, but I can do it.
Yes, you can make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway,
that's basically what a line review is. It's so fun.
It's stressful and it's fun.
It's the most exciting part of the process, in my opinion.
Agreed.
You can see a version of it in pretty much any fashion
documentary. Choosing fabrics is also very exciting for me. I also like choosing fabrics, but that's not always how it works.
I can't wait for the day when the fabric suppliers can come to me with their cases and
we
can
their just little roly luggage.
The swatches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not that far, honey.
Yeah, you're not that far.
Hopefully not. Maybe in a couple of seasons. That's the plan.
That'd be pretty sweet.
You're gonna get there.
We have our core fabric.
And it's also nice. I had one of these recently. I had one in April where the rep from the fabric company, and normally we meet with like some 50-year-old white dude. And he wasn't available. So we had a young woman come who's probably one of like a peer of ours. She's probably in her early 30s. And we got so excited, as we always do. And we're like clawing each other and throwing the swatches around. But she was also excited. So we did not feel like idiots. It was great.
Yeah.
Like it's our people.
And
we're
also it's
excited.
Another opinion.
We're like stripes. Yeah. Can we get a jizz into it too?
We need the biggest table you have.
Yeah.
We need
to spread everything else she got out. In the luggage? What else she got in that rolly luggage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still some in the bottom. I can see it. Pull it out.
Why don't you show me that?
All of my current suppliers are straight men and they do not give a shit when I get excited about a new fabric.
See? You need people to get excited.
Yeah.
And that's a line review too. You pump up your team, whether it's just you or it's a team of 30 people, getting that level of excitement and innovation and creativity is exciting.
Mm-hmm. I find that it's hard to get excited about something because I'm thinking about, okay,
yes, this is, absolutely, because you have too many hats to wear.
This is the margin, blah, blah,
you have
blah,
too
blah,
many hats
yeah,
on.
Yeah. This is how long it should take to make. And then you're just like thinking the wheels are turning. But if someone keeps you in that moment with that fabric,
you don't have to think the six steps ahead like you do every other time.
Mm-hmm.
And you do need to have a thick skin. I would say you do need to have a thick skin for a line review.
it's a critique, right?
Yeah. You have to be okay being on display.
And you can't be precious about your ideas.
Yes. Yep. And lots of the times the ideas come from the buyers.
Yeah.
they come and they say, I mean, that's a grand statement and also a small statement, but it's true. Lots of the designers basically fill the gaps that the buyers say to fill. We need a skirt in this sort of theme.
Yeah.
Go for it.
We need this colorway and this type of fabric. And
yeah. We need a new top that fills the purpose of, you know, getting to work and riding a bike there or whatever.
Yeah.
We need a raincoat that you can also, you know, that looks super chic, but also keeps her dry.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of that. So there's, yeah, you do need a thick skin because it is your work on display in front of a room full of people. Yes,
and you've been thinking and working on this for months by that point, right? And thinking about it and overthinking about it and changing it and it's changing it back and this and that and doubting yourself and then being super sure of yourself and then getting deflated when you show it to somebody and you're like, oh.
As is the whole creative process in any...
Regardless of the industry you're in.
Yes. Anyway, they're just really the best. If anyone has an opportunity to sit in on a line review at a big company, I highly recommend
it. Do it. If you ever get the invite extended, now's your chance.
I never got to do it at my last job. Would have benefited them.
I was going to say, because your opinions are too strong. And they didn't like them.
I doubt any of them listen to this anyway.
Oh, that's fine.
My NDA is coming out soon.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, we're going to spill all the tea.
Maybe. The tea that I have to spill could benefit them financially, so no.
So maybe not. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear it then. They don't need to hear it now. Anywho, let's move on to success.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's have a break. And all right. We'll come back.
Cool. Be right back.
Beep.
Guys, we're back.
Yeah, we were briefly talking about my previous obsession, Brett Manrock, and how I love him so much, and he better not ever show up and do anything shitty ever, because I love him so much, and I don't want to have him canceled.
We just need him to do it right.
We need him to do his pole dancing and straw advocacy. Please don't fuck this up. Hope you're listening, Brett Manrock. I love you so much.
Please, playing with dry ice.
Your unboxing videos from Amazon where it's like toilet paper and straws. I'm watching it. I know because I watch it all. Anyway, but now we can obsess about something new.
Something new.
Something new.
Will I go first? Should I go first?
Please do. I love your enthusiasm.
Does anyone have any anything heavy?
Nope.
Anything like mine's intellectual?
Dumb. Mine's light.
Great. anyone can go first.
We don't need to sandwich this between two stupid ones.
Like we always do. The second person is always the dumbest.
Sorry.
So I've been doing, the last couple of weeks, I've been doing some like actual nitty gritty writing work at work, which is so great. But
it's been a while since you used those muscles.
Well, a little bit, but also it's where my desk is sort of a high traffic area, and it's not the most distraction free kind
conducive
of
to working. Sure, yeah,
So, if I have to be in the office, which I don't always have to be in the office, I can work from home sometimes. But if I have to be there, I have these really great headphones that I got from Skullcandy. They're like a noise canceling headphone and they're wireless. Nice.
Oh, great.
So you like get up and get a cup of coffee and walk around and stuff and keep them on. And I have been listening to Tycho, which is like why can't I think of words? It's because I've been writing
a long day. There you go. You've used them all up.
There's used them left. All. They're all gone. Electronica. It's like a super chill, mellow electronica, but there's no words.
Oh, that's good.
So
for when you're working.
I need a no word situation if I need to just like...
I'm like that with sewing sometimes, with pattern drafting and stuff. Like I can't listen to a podcast. I can't listen to music with words.
No, I need to just tune everything out and focus on what I'm doing and have like a pleasant, nice...
background, some sort of beat or whatever. Yeah.
So Tycho, T-Y-C-H-O, is this really great band. I actually saw them play here in, I don't know, 5 years ago. They were so good. They put on this really great show. And I'm just, it's all I've listened to in the last like probably like 5 days.
Oh, that's awesome.
That I'm like sitting at work and there's like 4 or 5 albums that I'm just like rolled through. Highly recommend if you need a good like zone out, chill out, no words, working style music, recommend. And also if you have in the world at large, all of our all our haglots out there listening, if you guys have recommendations for that style of music, send them my way because I need more.
Sure. Need
more of that chill, mellow vibes. I don't need like yoga, meditation.
New age sort of. Yeah.
I just want like some good chill electronica.
So save your pan flutes for someone who cares.
I don't want a pan flute. I want it all to come from a computer. Maybe a guitar here and there.
Or some or drums a or something. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, yeah, send your recommendations. But Tycho. Along the lines of Tycho. That's
when you find something good like that.
It's been so good.
It's priceless.
It's so good. And one song sort of just flows into the next one.
Nice too.
And I can just have
you can get the hum hour. Going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, tick, 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 tick.
And I can search and do my research.
Turn one part of your brain off and concentrate on the other part.
Yeah.
And get her done.
So good. Tycho.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's it.
Where are they from?
Me. I don't know. I think they're an American band. I truly know nothing about them except that
I like their music.
Listened to them nonstop for the last 5 days. And they put on a really great show.
Oh, sweet.
I think they're American, but you know what? Let me do,
we'll have
let
a
me
listen.
Do a quick dig.
We'll say, and I have a couple hours on Thursday mornings where I work in a very busy like restaurant bistro thing for 2 hours and I need music.
Oh, yeah.
To do shit. That's one of the things. And then I get too excited about the music and then I get, I'm not paying attention because I'm so excited about the music I'm listening to. And oh, boy.
Yeah, I need to.
That's no good.
Yeah, they are American. Yeah. Sweet. You never guess. It's three white dudes. And they are American. They're beautiful.
But nice.
So is your music.
There you go.
Anyway, highly recommend. Zone out, chill out. Get your work done. Get the words down.
Yes. Kind of music. Yeah. Awesome. Evan, meet those deadlines.
Yeah.
I've been absolutely devouring Fosse Verdon, which is a new FX series.
I totally forgot about it, and now I got to get back on it. Mm-hmm. Who plays Fosse?
I don't know. He played...
Because it's Michelle Williams, right?
He's on Charlie's Angels. That's the only thing I know him from, but I know he's Sam Rockwell.
Oh!
I love Sam Rockwell!
He's very likable.
Mm-hmm.
I love him so much.
He plays Bob Fosse, and Michelle Williams plays Gwen Verdon, and it's this whole story of how their artistic and personal relationship was kind of intertwined in the making of all these iconic Broadway shows and movie musicals, including Sweet Charity, Cabaret, and then a Pippin, a bunch of Broadway musicals that I can't remember. But it's fucking fascinating. And
these are like super influential people.
Yeah, hella influential.
Yeah.
Gwen Verdon was like the bitch on Broadway for like 20
bitch.
Years. Yeah, from like the late 50s to the early 70s.
Holy shit, that's a hell of a career.
Yeah.
For like dancing and performing? Shit.
Yeah, because she started when she was like 13 or something.
Wow.
And she was like, when she was a kid, she had like a leg brace and she had like bowed legs and she had all this stuff. And, like,
overcoming adversity?
Super poor. And then just made it. Made
disabled
it
and
time.
Poor and then now success?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Is it a show or a movie?
It's a miniseries on FX.
How do you watch FX?
Illegally.
How do you do it? I was going to say this guy.
I think I saw
Michelle Williams on Busy Tonight because her and Busy are BFFs.
Oh, rest in peace, Busy Tonight. Got canceled.
No, that show got canceled.
It was very enjoyable.
It was.
I find her very enjoyable and her show was very enjoyable.
Because she's that girl.
Because she's
so many
her.
People
it's just
pretend
her.
To be that girl.
And it's just her.
But that's just her.
She's great. And she throws no punches and she's just super authentic, which I really appreciate. And we also like the same stuff. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But she was talking about it. And I remember, but it was before it aired and it wasn't out yet. And then I totally forgot about it. Mm-hmm.
My brother got me onto it. My brother's always keeping a tab on the girls. Michelle Williams
is it Ryan Murphy?
One of them.
No,
it's not. And I think it's for the best. Because it kind of...
He's got other things to do. He's got enough work.
The tone of it is so much more...
It's more serious?
Serious, and like it's so much less about what they're doing and why they do it
and
who they are
and how they are together.
And basically the magic that comes from...
Because he's like a choreographer and she's a performer?
She's a dancer, yeah.
Yeah, and then, that's their... And then they have a romantic relationship?
They were married. They had a child. And when they first met... He was married, she was engaged, and
then they, ditched,
they
those suckers.
Ditched those suckers and moved on
with each other.
But basically, scandalous. All of those, like all of these, like quintessential moments that you can think of from a Bob Fosse production, are coming from Gwen. Like all these little nuances and these things with
it's
the
her input,
and it's these things that she would just do naturally that he would make everyone else do.
and turn into a thing.
Because it was her, the way she would move. Or it was her decision to make Liza just wear the vest in Cabaret with nothing underneath. With
nothing.
And the blue eyeshadow to match the green fingernails and like all of these like little touches that were all her
doing.
That
have become so iconic.
Yeah. That's and exciting. Then he took care of it for.
Classic.
Surprise, surprise.
Classic white dude.
Yeah. But it's fascinating. And, you know, I love that fucking, I love that era. And I love all of those,
all over it.
Those movies. And I love Michelle Williams. So highly recommend. I think it's Tuesday nights on FX.
All right.
Yeah. So I have to go back home tonight.
Good.
Michelle Williams and Sam Rockwell. Oh, yes,
please. Oh, and they work so well together. Just like.
That's great.
They can like when someone like, when someone's pitching that. A person sitting there ready to catch or bat or what the fuck,
whatever the analogy is. Yeah, sounds great.
I
yeah,
love
I'm too gay sport. For that. Yeah, sport analogy. We get it.
Baseball analogy.
They throw the puck throw and then they catch it.
Person to catch it
and they get the goal at home base.
Meanwhile, you're like doing like a swing.
The only
motion.
Thing I could do was track.
You guys,
because
that was
I couldn't be fucked to deal with the team.
You got them legs.
Yeah,
right.
I could run and jump.
Yeah, there you go.
I was not a javelin. I was not a shot put.
I was not here for
I was a 100 meter hurdles.
I was here for, fuck you. I'm your worst nightmare PE teacher.
I'll be smoking by the corner tree. That's where I'll be on gym class. That's
it was
happy.
So annoying. The thing with me with 100 meter hurdles is I could jump farther over the hurdle than anyone else in our district. Mm. But once I hit the ground...
That's when they caught up to me.
Mm.
You had the jumping. Give you something that's just jumping. So once,
just like, do the long jump.
I couldn't. I never did the long jump either.
Why? Mm. It sounds like that was your niche.
I think it was because I had to jump high that I jumped far. But when you do long jump,
only
it's like
far.
You have to jump far.
Only far. You can't jump too high because then you're taking out, I don't know, this is way out of sight of my wheelhouse.
Yeah. And in long jump, when it's the back of your heel that lands in the sand, and then if you've then you have to throw your body forward. Because if you fall backward, the farthest part of your body is where your mark is.
Is what
they
measured.
And I always fell backward.
You
I don't know
control
why.
Your flail.
Because I think it's always hitting the sand. Once I hit the hard ground, like the gravel, like on the track, it was different. But the sand was what fucked me up.
Mm.
Yeah. Anywho.
So, track is not your... Not for
your future. Yeah.
Track, proper track was me.
Yes.
But not javelin in the sod or not long jump in the sand.
God, that's all right.
Yeah. It was all like the buff people who did javelin and shot put and shit like that.
Yeah, makes sense. The trench bowls of the world.
The trench bowls.
She was shot put. Yeah, there we go.
I was not good at any of those things.
Nope. So. Not a single, nothing.
I was good at gymnastics.
Yeah.
Zero endurance. Not great at sports.
I had zero physical ability and even less emotional.
Interest?
Yes, or the other end. Even less. Like I said, I'm pushing 40 and I finally find an exercise that I don't hate.
Bar.
The bar method. And I won't go so far as to say that I love it, but I don't hate it.
Which
and
is
that
good
is,
enough.
I'm gonna take it.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
Anyway.
You're not going to be a track and field star anyways, so don't worry
about that. My knees would not allow it now.
Yeah, nope, that ship has sailed.
Nope.
Yeah, that ship was never near my dock, so it's fine.
What are you obsessing over right now?
I'm obsessing about this fucking show. Shout out to my girl, Geneva, who you met at Bad Grammar on multiple platforms. She's a super rad lady. She lives in D.C., she told me about this show. She messaged me. I think she watched it and messaged me like immediately. She's like, you have to watch the show. Everything I know about you tells me you need to watch the show. It's called I Think You Should Leave. It's a sketch comedy show on Netflix.
Tell me everything.
They're like 8 22-minute episodes. So like I literally watched them all in one night.
Good for you.
I put the little one to bed who's got the early bedtime, and then I started watching one, and then all of a sudden I was like starting the third one because they're so short, and I just sat there.
It's like
the length
of a movie.
Yeah, by the time Dave put the older one to bed, which is like an hour later, and then I was like, well, fuck, it's only like 8:30. I'm gonna keep watching this. And then I've also watched it a second time since, and then talked about it, and then spot watched a few sketch comedies. It's sketch comedy, I don't know, there's on a 4 sketches per episode or something. And this guy, Tim Robbins, he was on SNL briefly for a couple years. He was a feature player. I don't know if he ever got to like full cast member, but he was a feature player and never really made any big splashes or anything, I don't think. Or maybe a couple, but nothing really of note.
and he's not on SNL anymore. But like Vanessa Bayer and Tim Heidecker and like all these other famous sketch people and comedy and improv people are on it, and they all make appearances, and it's so weird and so hilarious. Like I was crying. Like I can't remember the last time I saw something that I was cry laughing, like hyperventilating. There's so many fart jokes. It's great. Like literally the second sketch, I'm like, oh yes, this is the vibe I'm in
on board.
I'm 100% on board with this.
I saw a review for it and it was something like, the tagline that I remember was comedy without context.
100%.
And I was like, okay, 100%. I'll get on board with that. I did that thing where Chris made a really lovely meal and I was like, kick her out, I'll do the dishes, but I'm putting on a podcast, so like, don't talk to me because I'm in my own.
I'm
doing my own thing now, which is basically the only way I can do dishes now.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
And so I'm doing the dishes and I like take my headphones off and Carter is like howling, laughing. He is laughing so hard, like loud enough that I had to like remove my headphones because I could hear it through my headphones and couldn't figure out what this crazy sound was. It was Chris laughing on the couch at that Vanessa Bayer sketch where she's,
I'm sitting with two dumb bitches.
Is it where they all take a selfie?
Yes. Fuck. It's so surreal and off kilter, and don't look for the context because there is none and you don't need it. Each sketch, and it's not like other sketch shows like Tim and Eric or Mr. Show where there is kind of a through line and they try to make it make sense with each other and they reference, everything is a standalone. So weird. It's amazing. It's not for everyone. Mom and Dad, this is not for you. You will not get it. The fart jokes I enjoy, you will not enjoy. But it's so funny. I cannot recommend it enough. I think you should leave.
Fantastic. It's such a good name, too.
And like the interstitial name. Music is great. And like the little animations, like the little bumpers and stuff. Like everything about the show is very well thought out and very well executed. And so stupid. So dumb. I love it so much.
It's the comedy we all need right now. In these troubled times. Yes,
you do not need your brain.
No. Turn it off.
Or any other information. Put your phone down and just pay attention to the show.
You need this and you need the fashion hacks.
Yes, please.
That's right. So when your husband makes dinner, you can do the dishes after and listen to this. And then you can go and join him on the couch for, I think you should leave.
I think you should leave. There you go.
There you go, you guys. Wednesday evening.
Done.
Dialed.
You're welcome. Yep.
Also, maybe just skip the dishes and order a pizza and then just you do you.
Get a napkin.
I'm not going to
do dishes. Right, yeah.
Just listen to the fashion eggs. That's all we're saying. We are so thankful that you guys are joining us today and listening.
Yes. Oh, yes, this worked out. I'm happy we got to talk about the Met Gala because I was wondering, I'm like, okay, we've got this guest, but we talked about pre-Met Gala stuff. I want to talk about the actual Met Gala. So I was going to be ready to okay, give me a minute. I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to talk about how Kim Kardashian was not the best dressed at the Met Gala. I'm sorry, Diet Prada. She was not on the best dress list.
No.
Diet Prada, we love you, but also no. But I'm very glad we got this opportunity to talk about the end line reviews, too. That was very exciting.
You guys, it was great.
You were there. It was great.
I've been wanting to talk about
this for a while. Yes. This has come up a few times. This is fun. In our discussions.
And also, Met Gala. You can't just skate over the Met Gala.
No. You have to talk about it and you have to have opinions.
You have to.
It is so subjective. It is the most subjective thing ever.
That's why we love it.
Yeah. That's why we can talk for an hour about it.
So,
after already talking about it for 24 hours,
I know. Tell us what you think. Tag us in all the things because we love that.
Yes, please. So much.
We're Fashion Hags Podcast.
If we say something stupid, let us know.
Yeah, we want to know. Yeah.
But we won't always agree with you thinking that we're stupid.
That's fine. We appreciate the listening and you thinking. Evan disagrees about the hairstyles things. That's fine.
I stand by my statement.
That's fine. No one is asking you to change your opinion. I'm very happy.
I have very little time. I have very little time for cisgendered white men doing the bare minimum and getting all of the credit.
Well, there you go. Hey, man. That is a valid point.
That. Well said.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
Can't argue that.
When Kenan Lonzo wore a full earring.
He wore an earring.
I'm
done. A woman's earring.
I'm ready to go.
Evan stormed out with his cape thrown over the back of his shoulder. Feature hot on Hamish Bowles. Anyway,
thanks for listening, you guys. Find us in the things, on the places, and
things
the
and bobs, and yeah. You know the deal.
Send us an email if you guys have an idea for a topic, or send us a DM on our Instagram. That's good too.
Yes, please.
We share that Instagram, so if we don't get back to you immediately, sorry.
We'll get there eventually.
We'll get there.
Yeah, you never know who's responding to because we don't really sign when we respond.
No, we don't tell each other when we're checking out. Yeah.
We don't have rules here, you guys.
We're not loosey-goosey.
We're
three career girls, and we get to it when we get to it.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay?
And if we don't, then that's on you.
Then sorry. But please still send us messages.
We're just doing our best. Anyway, thank you guys. Don't forget to give us a nice review. We love that so much.
5 stars only.
And remember that we love you.
Bye.
Hey.